Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
When I was driving into the studio this morning and thinking about the fact that I was going to be talking to somebody who is an expert on computer coding boot camps, you know, kind of a shortcut into getting a job as a software engineer, programmer, whatever, I tried to fantasize, you know, what would I really do if I had a daughter right now, or a son, of course, either one, who was at the cusp of beginning their career. Maybe they were graduating high school or something like that. Would I, you know, would I join the bandwagon? Would I say, yes, all these STEM jobs and computer programming is where the action is, and look how good the hiring possibilities are here in Silicon Valley for software people. They're making six figures straight out of college. They may not even have to go to college. These days, employers are more interested in expertise and certifications. And I said to myself, no. We need to, when we're thinking about a career choice, we need to be thinking long-term. What's going to be the arc of jobs for software engineers, computer programmers, people like that, over 10, 20, 30 years? And remember, you know, I know the media likes to talk about, oh, yes, people change careers all the time. That's BS. In the end, it's very hard to change careers. As somebody who's been a career counselor to 5,000 clients, I see, even at age 30, not 50, forget about 50, it's really hard then, because then you got a mortgage, you got kids going to college, you got all the rest of it, and now you're going to try to change to a new career where you have no experience and you're 50 years old and you're going to try to get hired. No, in some ways, even if you're 30, let alone 50, you're pretty much anchored to at least some variant of the career you choose now. It is not so easy for a computer programmer to become a teacher or a social worker or anything else. So why would I want my kid not to be a computer programmer? Because I really believe that ever more jobs are, I don't care about what Donald Trump is saying. In the end, the vectors, the powers, the pressures to get hired cheaper without benefits and in an amazingly tech-centric world like China, India, Thailand, Israel, Ireland, it's going to be just too tempting for employers to offshore because the work product can be sent over the internet. Yeah, there'll need to be a few people who are quote culturally competent, who can manage the remote workforce, who can lead people, who can be strategic, understand the American marketplace, all the rest of it, manage upward, raise money with American financing entities. But those are only a few. And so if I had a son or a daughter, what I would tell him or her to do, now, two categories. You know, I don't mean to be binary here, but just for purposes of, you know, simplicity. If I had a bright kid, I would say get just technical enough so you know the jargon and you don't sound like an idiot. Take a course in computer science or whatever. Maybe a boot camp. Not so much in programming, but just an introduction to high tech. But then if, again, I really do believe that intelligence is something that is part genetic, part environment. But if the kid doesn't have son or daughter, doesn't have the genetic predisposition of being bright, that is learning quickly, verbal, able to abstract, think quickly on their feet, that's a whole other story. But assuming my kid is bright, doesn't have to be a genius, but bright, I would say work on your leadership skills, get involved as much as you can in leadership opportunities, even as a volunteer, your public speaking skills, your writing skills, because your writing skills is a manifestation of your thinking skills. And if you are bright, you just need a little bit of writing instruction in order to write clearly instead of the academies garbage they teach you at universities, which is, you know, obfuscatory, pardon the big word. I'd want my daughter to develop people skills, management skills, realize one size doesn't fit all, become an enlightened manager, thinking about the triple bottom line, not just profits, but people and the planet. And that would seem to be the perfect storm. A little technology, a lot of leadership, a lot of personal communication skills. And those jobs are probably going to be harder to offshore because they do require that a large amount of cultural competency and people management competency. So that's by way of context by saying, I'm cynical about my guest. Not my guest. My guest is lovely. She's terrific. There's no problem. I don't mean lovely visual. I don't know what she looks like. But, you know, her mission is excellent. She's there to, she's a person who evaluates boot camps to see which ones are good, which are not, why, who should go, who should not, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But the whole enterprise, the whole concept of us genuflecting before these programming-centric careers, I think is overrated. So I'm going to discuss that now with my guests. And so now, without further ado, now I can, with that benefit of full context. Oh, by the way, after I finish with my guest, probably 25 minutes from now, something like that, I'm going to share some careers I like, some careers I don't like, and then I'm going to try to help you when, you know, because all this generic advice is garbage compared to what's, it's not, I mean garbage, it's irrelevant to you, potentially. So I'm going to invite you to call in for a workover, and whatever your career conundrum is besetting you or someone you care about, I usually can help, but it'll be customized. But for now, I'd like to introduce Lig Eggleston. She co-founded CourseReport.com. It provides third-party, that is, independent reviews of these high-tech boot camps, usually those, mainly those that teach computer coding. And so, Liz, welcome to Work with Marty Nemco.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I think, you know, you're asking yourself the questions that a lot of parents and students are asking themselves, so I'm really happy to talk about this.
Great. So do you want to, why don't I give you a shot? I mean, you listen to my little three-minute, you know, monologue, if you will. What are your reactions to what I've just said?
Well, I mean, I do agree that, you know, saying that these types of programs like boot camps are a fast track into like tech for anybody is probably a disservice to everyone. So I do think that a lot of research has to go into choosing if a boot camp is right for you and which boot camp is right for you. So I think that your skepticism is something that, you know, all students and all future boot campers should have when they're choosing a school. But if you do choose the one that's right and, you know, you find that that path, and I think that this can actually be a really cool, great career for a lot of, not only, you know, new graduates, but also career changers in their, you know, late 20s and 30s.
Okay. Is it fair to say, however, that boot camp is not a route into Google? Google gets 1,500 unsolicited applications a day, and so they don't have to, they can choose somebody who has got enormous credentials. Am I correct that if boot camps are going to make you employable, it's going to be the second and third tier firms?
I don't know. I mean, I talk to a lot of very, you know, forward-thinking employers who want to invest in junior talent in order to grow them into the developers that they need for their companies. So, like, I talked to the, you know, engineering manager at Progressive Insurance, at Eventbrite, at Priceline, some smaller startups and dev shops who all really love hiring from the camp.
Interesting. Love. Why would they love? Why would love? It implies they prefer it. For example, to someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Why
yeah.
would they prefer
so
it?
The reason that they tell me they love. I mean, I also hire boot campers because I put my money where my mouth is. But the reasons that they tell me is A, because they have this sort of past life, right? The average boot camper has about 7 years of work experience, which means that they already know how to like navigate the workplace. They know they can sort of now combine those past skills as like a product manager or a project manager or, you know, a poet or a musician, whatever their past life was, with these new tech skills, and it can be really valuable. So like somebody who had a career in real estate with tech skills can work for a real estate startup or, you know, a real estate tech company and be like a really valuable contributing member to that tech team that, you know, a recent computer science degree graduate may not have. And then the second reason is that they learn skills really easily, right? They're highly motivated. They're self-selecting. A boot camp graduate is, or a boot camper is somebody who has chosen to make this career change. So, you know, they've gotten this practical training for the last 3 to 6 months. They're definitely beginners. They're junior developers, but they can certainly hit the ground running, and they can learn a new skill really quickly because they just proved, you know, that they can do that, right? And then I personally think that an employer who's hiring from a boot camp gets the added value of sort of already having those students vetted by the admissions team, right? So the placement team at the boot camp is already knows the student really well. You're getting this sort of like personal recruiting process rather than pulling resumes from Indeed or, you know, however you sort of hire traditionally. And so I think there are actually some cool benefits to hiring boot campers. But I also like to just let hiring managers tell me what they like about it, and that's sort of what I've heard.
Well, implicit in what you're saying, though, is that the viable boot camper is somebody who has had a few years of experience. You know, mm-hmm. what about the person who says, you know, I'm daunted by the fact that college costs, you know, average takes 5-6 years and only 50% graduate even if given 6 years, mm-hmm. and it's going to cost me $200,000. So I'm going to forego college, or I'm going to drop out of college, or I'm not going to go back to college. So I don't have a degree. But let's say I don't. So I'm a young person. I'm 20 years old, and I've said, screw the college thing. I'm going to go, and I'm just going to do the boot camp. But I don't have the 7 years of experience that you're talking about with the domain expertise. Am I going to be still considered viable? Excuse me. Or is boot camp really for somebody who's got some level of work experience?
It really is. So I do talk to, you know, high schoolers who graduate high school and go straight into a boot camp, or maybe they take a summer course during college and decide that they want to just go forward with the job search through the boot camp. But that's an anomaly, right? Currently, I tell people this all the time, I don't think that coding boot camps are necessarily an alternative to college. Mm-hmm. They're definitely a supplement. I think they're definitely an alternative to maybe a graduate program, mm-hmm. like an MBA or a professional program. But I do not advise people to skip college and go to a boot camp. Not that it won't work, but the success that we have seen over the last 3 years is not in, you know, 19-year-olds, it's in career changers who have had a few years of work experience.
How much
doesn't mean that a high schooler can't, you know, choose to go to a boot camp and start their career. People do it, but it's not what it's not the overarching sort of narrative here.
How much of that is a correlation causation problem? Because generally, because it is so de rigueur that bright kids go to college and they do that, so you're going to get most of the bright kids going to college. So the most of the kids who are, say, not going to college are the ones who did crappy in high school. And so they say, okay, I'm going to go and do coding boot camp. But if I'm a smart person and I'm saying, you know, I don't need to do to sit through all of those years of largely irrelevant courses and all that cost, I mean, is it possible that if I'm a smart kid and a driven kid who's straight out of high school, even a high school dropout, and says, you know, I don't need to learn quadratic equations.
Absolutely.
I don't need to learn, you know, the causes of the Peloponnesian War. I want to do my learning in the real world, and I want to Do you think that high school kid who says, screw the system, I'm an iconoclast, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to the boot camp, is that person likely to be viable, or do you not know?
Well, I do think that, you know, you do need to learn the roots of the Peloponnesian War, but I think that the real problem with that, I guess, is not that the student couldn't be totally successful in the boot camp and completely crush it and, you know, be ready for their first job, but is the job market ready for
that's
that,
my
right?
That was my question market. To you. Yes, that's
right,
my question.
Exactly. So maybe they would be, you know, they may get an internship when they graduate. A company might take a chance on them, give them an internship or an apprenticeship, or even give them a, you know, super entry-level job. But it's definitely not, you know, proven by any means that you know, a large amount of people could drop out of high school and
Excellent.
Start boot camps
okay.
and then enter the market. Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to Work with Marty Nemco. My guest is Liz Eggleston. We're talking about whom and why computer coding boot camps are viable as a career training option, probably at this point more likely as an adjunct, as an alternative to graduate school rather than undergraduate. We're getting a little ahead of our ahead of ourselves. So why don't you describe, you said 3 to 6 months, paint a picture of what those 3 to 6 months in a boot camp look like and feel like.
They're hard, they're really intensive, they're rather expensive too. I mean, the average boot camp costs about $11,000. Mm-hmm. It lasts about 12 weeks.
With no financial aid, right? Because these are not accredited institutions. Am I right? These are cash pay.
They're not accredited. There is some, you know, sort of financing available, and there is a small market of lending partners that have sort of cropped up over the last couple of years that are lending specifically to coding boot campers. So that's also something interesting. But generally, so you enroll, you choose a boot camp that you want to go to, you go through the very selective process of getting into the boot camp, which can be quite selective.
Really?
It can be for some schools, definitely. And then, you know, it's really intense. It's 50 to 70, sometimes 80 hours a week of, practice-based, practical-based, project-based training. It's a lot of, you're doing a lot of projects. It's not a ton of, lecture. But it's very hands-on, and it's a lot of sleepless nights. So I think, you do sort of hear this sort of narrative that boot camps are this fast track to, a career in tech, and that can be true, but it does require a lot of effort on the student's part as well. And then the sort of defining characteristic of them are that these boot camps have a lot of job preparation built in, and they work really hard to place graduates into jobs, so very outcomes-based as well.
Okay, now in terms of the admissibility, paint a picture not of the kind of minimum, let's look at the top tier, I don't care about prestige, but the top tier in terms of quality. What would be kind of the minimum characteristics of a person who would be admitted, who would be on the borderline of being admitted to a top-tier program?
Yeah, so for a top-tier program, you're probably going to have a little bit of programming experience, and that can mean either, you've done a bit of coding on the job, maybe you, did some HTML and CSS in your last job and you realized you really liked it. Maybe you did a full, Code Academy course or a free course like that. You've seen some code before. You can get through a coding challenge, some logic puzzles, these sorts of, admissions tests. And then the schools are really looking for smart, passionate, really motivated students that have a lot of grit. So they want to know that you've been able to get through, past challenges in the past, that you've been able to excel at a certain subject in the past. I always ask instructors who their best students were. Time and time again, I get, background really doesn't matter.
Right.
Smart
and grit.
Smart
and grit.
But it's grit. Yeah, it's absolutely grit.
Smart and grit. Smart and grit. Definitely. That's what every study for everything shows. Now, you raised the issue briefly of the free ones. Now, there are these, you talked about Code Academy. Here we have coding drop-ins at the San Francisco Public Library.
Totally.
What's the role of them rather than these $14,000 or $11,000 ones?
Absolutely. I mean, they're great, right? It's a super low barrier to entry. Anyone can stop by.
Right.
It's the perfect way to learn what it feels like to code. Because if you don't want to be coding every day, as a career for the rest of your life, you shouldn't go to a coding boot camp. And a lot of people sort of, don't experiment with it before they start. So, a lot of people that I talk to will start with a free online Code Academy course or a meetup like Girl Develop It or Rails Girls are two really cool ones, or a Treehouse meetup like...
Why don't you go slow because my listeners would like to...
Okay, sorry.
Tell me what those are. No, I know. You and I, love, that's why you're on the show. I love smart and fast, and you're that. So tell me, slow down though, what are the names of these free ones that my listeners should know about?
Okay, I would love to. So your listeners are in San Francisco too, so they're super lucky. There are a lot of these. There's Code Academy is online.
Right.
That's free.
Right.
Girl Develop It is an in-person meetup.
Okay.
Rails Girls is an in-person
Rails
meetup.
Girls as in Ruby on Rails? Rails
Girls?
Exactly.
Okay,
Rails
exactly,
Girls.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Really, if you go to a lot of coding boot camps, actually offer these for free, these intro courses for free, which I really definitely suggest checking those out because you get a sense of what the instructor is like in the classroom. You can kind of do some undercover research while you're also learning. And then once they do those, free or low cost entry programs, then they will sort of invest in a coding boot camp once they're serious about changing careers. But you bring up a good point because it's kind of a major criticism of coding boot camps is that you can learn all of this online on your own, right?
Right. That was my next question.
Curriculum or not? Oh, it was your next question. Sorry.
That's great. No, go ahead. This is good.
Yeah. So you can. It's a curriculum isn't really going to set a boot camp apart. The boot camps are a way to sort of accelerate that process and get that job network in the process of learning. But sure, anybody can really, get the resources that they need off of the internet. A lot of boot camps even put their curriculum on the internet. I don't think they're too worried about that.
Cool.
Because it's not really the value add.
So is that really the smart move? I mean, there is there's a chicken and egg problem here. Many of the people who are looking to change careers are not making money. They need to make money, and they don't want to spend $11,000. So is there, let's say I put a gun to your head, Liz, and I said, you've got to get boot camp quality and quantity training, and you got to do it for essentially under $1,000 with, you know, free and low cost stuff, what would Liz do?
I would go to as many free weekend meetups as I could find. If you go to meetup.com, mm-hmm. you can find any of those. I would do all of the free resources that I can. Khan Academy, Code mm-hmm. Academy, both have those. And I would here's a secret, but I guess it's not a huge secret, but Turing School, which is in Colorado.
Turing, as in Alan Turing, T-U-R-I-N-G?
As in Alan Turing.
Right, okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
They put their curriculum online, so you can literally go to their GitHub and their curriculum is there. So it's there, the information is there. But that being said, you know, the boot camps, as we talked about, can be quite selective. So if you're a total beginner, then those free classes might be helpful but not only helpful, like completely necessary in order to apply. Like you may have to do a coding challenge, you may have to build a whole website in order to get into this boot camp. And so, you know, it may be necessary and not sufficient in order to even get into a boot camp. But there are plenty of free things.
Yeah, so why do we need the boot? Let's say if I said, okay, great, I don't have the money, and let's say I don't want to just spend $11,000 if I don't need to. Why wouldn't I simply do all those free things? And if I need some, people normally join courses and they take programs because they need structure.
So get structure. Mm-hmm.
Right, but what if we said to hell with the structure? What if I said I'm going to talk to a potential employer or a friend, and we'll structure out my program for planning me to be a Ruby on Rails or a Python or a programmer or whatever, because those are hot, or basic C programmer, and I'm going to have it laid out, I'll have the structure for me, and I'll just check in once a day with my mentor and ask questions. Maybe even hire a tutor and pay her $20 an hour to answer my questions. Is that a smart way, or am I being delusional about how self-motivated people are to be able to do it that way?
You're kind of describing what like an online coding boot camp does. They match you with a mentor. They, you know, you're getting that like sort of structure, but not necessarily in person. And that's great. A lot of people do choose boot camps because you're learning side by side. You have somebody to get you through a really tough problem that you would honestly take a couple days to get through if you were looking at Code Academy, you know, trying to figure something out. Mm-hmm. But then what you're missing is the job search, right? You're missing mm-hmm. that network that you get mm-hmm. from your instructors, from the mm-hmm. you know, founders of the school. You're missing the alumni network.
Yes.
Which I've found over the last 3 years has been huge.
Good.
Like the students that I hear that get the coolest jobs is because they have a warm lead from another camper.
Yep.
Exactly. So these alumni networks are really, I think, are a huge value add to the school.
Okay. Good stuff. So now, in terms of, let's see. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to give my listeners a chance to ask you a question or two. So,
right.
Dear listeners, you've been listening to a really good discussion of boot camps, what they're like, you know, alternatives to them, hybrids, you know, freebies, expensive ones, and, you know, if you are contemplating the idea of entering a coding career or have been in one, maybe you're even an employer. And from your perspective, you know, do you like people who went to coding boot camps? Do you like people who self-taught without a structured program? Do you still welcome the old traditional bachelor's in computer science? Your question or your comment for Liz Eggleston and or me here at Work with Marty Nemko, the phone number, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's talk a little bit about the getting hired thing. So let's say I've done the traditional work. I've pushed your edges, but let's say I took a freebie course at Code Academy, and mm-hmm. now I've gone and applied, and I'm finding tick off here in the Bay Area. What are the top few best Code Academies, and the maybe one or two that are online as opposed to in person?
Sure. Okay. So most of the best coding schools are actually in San Francisco, so your listeners actually have a few to choose from.
Although, exactly.
A few of them have, you know, several campuses. They've been around for a while, like General Assembly, Dev Boot Camp, Hack Reactor Coding Dojo. Those are all
Hack Reactor. Okay, so I'm slowing down. Yeah. Hack Reactor. Okay,
uh-huh. You've heard of Hack Reactor? Okay.
Of course. I shouldn't say of course. Yes, I have. Okay. Yes.
So they've been around for a while. They all have really large alumni networks, and those alumni networks sort of extend nationwide, which is really nice when you want, you know, maybe don't want to start your career in the place that you go to a boot camp, but they're all around $12,000 to $20,000.
Wow.
There are some that have a different payment structure. So App Academy is one in San Francisco that people should look at. They do a deferred tuition, so you don't pay tuition until you get a job.
Wow.
But then you're paying a percentage of your salary.
Mm-hmm.
So incentives are sort of aligned there, which is nice, but that's going to be more competitive, higher attrition once you're in.
Mm.
There's Hackbright Academy in San Francisco.
Hackbright?
It's all female, yeah, which is awesome. If that's something that you're looking for, there are a couple that are longer in length. So the average boot camp is about 11 weeks long, 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But Galvanize is in San Francisco. They're 6 months long. Holberton School is 2 years.
Holberton,
I think,
can you explain that? Holberton, can you spell that?
Holberton, Holberton.
Okay.
And they're two years. So it starts with a 6 month training phase, and then you do a 9 month internship, and then you do another round of learning. So that's kind of a cool model. You know, there are definitely, one thing that I will say is that there are a lot of boot camps. The model is really similar between them, but there are a lot of nuances between them. So no boot camp is made the same.
Let's do the soundbite. Now, let's pick the ones you picked. So General Assembly, give me the soundbite of the nuance difference.
General Assembly was one of the first.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they're made, you know, they teach Ruby on Rails and JavaScript, which language can be really important for some students.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty typical. And they have so many campuses. I think that's sort of their main draw, is that they've just taught so many students and have a really large alumni network. Hack Reactor has been called, you know, sort of the Harvard of coding schools.
Mm.
They've now also expanded. Dev Bootcamp is in New York and San Francisco. All of these are teaching similar.
What bootcamp? I'm sorry, you said after Hack Reactor, you said Dev Bootcamp. I didn't get that.
Dev Bootcamp, yeah, they were actually one of the first as well. They did their first class in 2012.
Okay.
Coding Dojo is in San Francisco as well, and they teach three different stacks, so you can learn multiple technologies. So if that's something that's important to you, then Coding Dojo could be a good a good bet. But honestly, what I say is that, you know, you can start your research by narrowing down by city, by price range, by career goals. You should obviously read reviews, but then you have to reach out. You have to visit the school. You have to talk to actual staff. You have to know who you're going to be learning from, and if that feels like a good fit, right? Because just looking at them in a list, they can all look really similar, but you have to know that you're going to be able to get through 80-hour weeks in
80-hour weeks. That really,
yeah.
You know, in the end, you mentioned the word grit. The older I've had 5,000 career clients, it really does come down to three things: intelligence, we can call it grit, drive, energy, whatever you want to call it, and being emotionally low maintenance, being together enough that you don't end up when the inevitable SH hits the fan, that you don't get depressed for 3 months. You know, Donald Trump wins the election doesn't mean you curl up in with a joint for 4 months. You may be unhappy about it, but, you know, people who succeed have those three attributes, that perfect storm. And I thought I was the originator of that, this intelligence.
You may have been.
No, I'm not.
Especially in this industry, right? If you're going to be working as a programmer, you're going to be running into issues and bugs and problems and things that nobody has run into every day, right? And you have to figure that out, or you have to figure out how to figure it out. So that grit is important to get through the boot camp, but it's also important if you want to be a programmer. Has to be built in.
Yeah, what I was going to say wasn't me. I actually wrote about this in Psychology Today, as I call them the big three. But then I got one of the commenters wrote back to me and said, no, this is, you know, you're only basically paraphrasing what Warren Buffett said. He called it smarts, energy, and ethics. So it was far from original.
Yeah.
But now we got plenty of calls, so let's go to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and my guest Liz Eggleston, who is the co-founder of CourseReport.com, which provides third-party reviews of high-tech boot camps. What's your question or comment for her? Hi, it's you. Are you there?
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi. So I currently work in the tech industry, but in a sort of a non, technical related field. And I've noticed that a lot of these boot camps, they're now offering not only coding, but also things like UX and UI training. And I was curious if your guests had any sort of information or feedback as far as, you know, General Assembly or any of these other programs, the things that are that they offer, the programs that are not so much coding, but these other, you know, tech-related things that I've noticed these schools have been offering more.
First, before listeners know, listeners need to know, user UX is user experience, user UI is user interface. So I want to make sure listeners got that. Okay, Liz, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So behind web and mobile development, which were the sort of original boot camps, UX and UI design are the next biggest, you know, category in this space. Any sort of digital skill that can be taught through project-based learning and sort of through practical training, people are experimenting with boot camps around them. So UX UI boot camps are big. Data science boot camps are huge now. A lot of those, you'll need to have some kind of programming experience going into them. So like Python or R, then you can take a data science boot camp. Others are like technical sales and digital marketing. And then the newest one is like cybersecurity. So really, and we list all of those on Course Report. Obviously, the biggest ones are coding, straight up, you know, web and mobile development. But I absolutely, you know, I think that the model is already expanding to those other digital skills. And, you know, wherever there are job openings and there is a way to teach that skill through you know, projects and practical training, like you'll start to see boot camps around those categories.
Anyway, hope that helps. Thanks for the call. You mentioned data science. That's the buzzword. If I've heard a buzzword from employers and job seekers in the last 3 years, the number one is data science. It's data mining. It's taking all the Facebook and Twitter and Google data and figuring out what's going to make people buy, whether or donate money or whatever. Am I right? Is that really continuing to accelerate? And I actually had a guest on the show recently, Swamana Mitra, who agreed with that. Do you agree that that is, you know, the at least what is likely to that is really hot and likely to stay hot, or no? Do you not know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, data science is you know, using that data to make business decisions, right?
Right.
So any company is now realizing that they probably need a data scientist on staff, if not, you know, a team of data scientists. And a lot of the people that are taking data science boot camps are academics, people who have a career in, you know, research or academia, and then realize that they want to enter, you know, sort of a more enter the business world, sort of transition out of academia, and that's a really great sort of transition for them. They have the experience and these like sort of really rich like skill set, and then a data science bootcamp can just train you to actually be prepared to work in a tech company that uses your skills in a new way. So yeah, I think the data science bootcamps actually, and you see the salaries in data science bootcamps. Just anecdotally, we don't do
surveys
around salary for data science, but anecdotally, like, pretty high.
Like six figures ish.
Yeah. I mean, probably entering more around like 80 or 90, but higher than web development.
Yeah. What is the typical graduate, again, not a superstar of one of these, you know, fairly well regarded boot camps? They've, you know, let's say they have the 3 years or 4 years of experience. They work, I'm thinking about my KLW listeners, they work in nonprofit management, and now they wanted to develop some technical skills. So now they've had 4 years of nonprofit work, and now they've completed a 3 to 6 month boot camp. What are they likely to make as a coder coming out of that?
Okay, so this completely depends on the market that you're in and the type of job that you get. Mostly it depends on the city that you're in.
We're here in the Bay. This show is really meant most of the listeners of Bay Area.
You're going to get probably the highest salaries in that area. On a whole, we look at evidence. We conduct a yearly survey of actual bootcamp grads to see what their average salary and if they are employed and what their salary changes, among other things. We see around a $70,000 starting salary for bootcamp grads. That's across the country. I think it's more around 80 or 90 in San Francisco for bootcamp grads. But a lot of boot camps are now starting, you know, these are outcomes-based programs. Like, you know that they are successful based on if they're getting their students jobs and how good those jobs are. So a lot of these schools are starting to publish that data in these, like, third-party audited reports.
Thank God they're audited, because I know the universities are so full of BS that, you know, Barbara Boxer has started a whole investigation. I think it was Boston University for their law school using BS data. They would get their students hired for 1 week and then claim they had this 90% employment rate.
Well, and they are audited, but you still do have to do, but you have to look at their methodology, because they're all different. Because this is not an accredited, you know, industry, it's not the same methodology across the board. So that is important. But so they're starting to publish those. You know, Hack Reactor, I think, has $104,000 average salary of a graduate. That's not what everybody is seeing,
right,
but it's around 70 worldwide. Or, I'm sorry, not worldwide, around across the U.S. Yeah. And in aggregate, we see about 75% of students are employed as developers after a boot camp, and about a $26,000 salary lift, which is my sort of favorite finding from that, because a $70,000 job can be cool, but I love that people are actually, like, seeing a return on their investment overall.
Of course, the big thing, you know, coming full circle to where I started the segment, you know, I really worry that, you know, in the intermediate term, not even long term, that there's going to be huge downward pressure on salaries for any kind of job that can be offshored. So do any of these boot camps prepare people to become leaders? That is, not just sit in their little cubicle and code, but be able to be a project lead, to be able to manage a global workforce, to be an expert communicator managing upward, or is that beyond what they do?
So they have 12 weeks with students usually. So they are focusing on soft skills. The best schools are. Dev Bootcamp, for example, has they're sort of focusing on, like, the holistic developer. They're doing sessions on engineering empathy, teaching people how to be leaders. They have, like, an on-site therapist to you know, help people sort of get through this career change in, like, a meaningful way. So there are schools that are putting those soft skills into the curriculum, which is important. But I do think, you know, when you graduate from one of these boot camps, you're graduating as, most likely, as a junior developer. Your first job is going to be a learning experience. So when you sign up for a boot camp, you're not, you know, you're signing up to be a lifelong learner, right? So what you learn at that school in a year or 5 years, probably going to be obsolete, if not, you know, having just changed a lot. So you really need to know that you are, you know, in it for the long run. You're learning constantly. You're doing things to better your own skills after you graduate. You know, a boot camp can sort of get you so far, but these are intensive, but they're, you know, short programs.
Yeah, we keep talking about the boot camp as, you know, in addition to the coding, that we should learn leadership, but there's another piece that is critical, which is business side. So many programs don't give a crap about business or making money or whatever, including nonprofits. Their lifeblood is money, too. I really urge anybody who's not going to want to just be marginalized into an ever-decreasing salary as a job as a coder to understand business. Take a course in at least one course in business so you can understand what the implications of your decisions for how you're going to do a user interface or user experience or, you know, what you know, so you can at least speak intelligently with the business side. Otherwise, you're going to be marginalized. You buy that?
Well, yeah. I mean, we were talking about this in the very beginning of our conversation. The employers that I've heard who are most satisfied with their bootcamp hires have hired students who have business acumen and have skills in a different field that they can apply, because they're pretty, you know, universal skills, and then you can sort of apply that to your new job as a developer. I think that, you know, just completely, that's the beauty of career changers, is that you don't have to completely, you know, abandon your past experience. But that's also why, you know, people that are around 29 years old or and 30 years old have a few years of experience are doing well in these programs.
What about people who are old? What about people who are 50 or 60? You know, many people, they average, their studies show that the average 60-year-old has got $50,000 in savings or less. There's no way they can afford to retire. But no BS now. If somebody's 50, 60, is this just not for them? Because people, I'll just stop there. Is it not
there
for them, really?
There are definitely boot campers who are in their 50s, 60s, later, you know, career changers. However, what my sort of advice is that you can do this, but you have to be prepared to take that junior entry-level developer position, right? So if you don't want to go into, you know, if you have built your career in a different area and then you're not prepared to start at the bottom, then that's probably where the sort of disconnect lies.
Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. Liz Eggleston, co-founder of CourseReport.com. We're talking about boot camps for learning coding. What's your question or comment for her? Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I have a quick comment and then question. I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
My nephew just started a program up in Portland for, now I might not get it right, but technology coding, and he's just starting from the beginning. But within the last 2 weeks, I've also heard that two-thirds of, now this might be just management, but it speaks for a lot of Silicon Valley, that a vast majority of their employees are on work visas, meaning they're from other countries. So I'm just, do you think taking a program like this, after spending, you know, a lot of money on getting your baccalaureate and then maybe graduate school and maybe this program, do you think that that's going to help you get a job in Silicon Valley, or is it more just kind of, I hate to say every day, but a less prestigious area of getting jobs?
So I guess I'm going to distill the question. So
do we mean that students are on work visas at that boot camp?
No,
the employees. Let me synthesize it. She's saying that they're indeed in Silicon Valley. There are a large percentage of employees who are on H-1B visas from India or whatever. And because, you know, while the law says they have to be paid the same, in reality they can work them really hard. There tends to be there's more desperation among the immigrants, and so they're working 12 hours a day and whatever. And so how viable really is a boot camp graduate relative to those H-1B visa people?
Thank you.
I don't know the program that you're talking about. It sounds like it might be a nano degree through Udacity. We haven't done a ton of research into who is teaching at boot camps, I guess, but I haven't heard of a boot camp that's exclusively teachers on work visas. Although, you know, I think that the value of a boot camper is pretty high as well to an employer, right? You're able to sort of start this new graduate maybe at, you know, a slightly lower salary or you're able to sort of like grow them into the employee that you need at the company. I'm not entirely sure I understand the full question.
The question is not about the teacher. The question is in the job market. Those H-1B visa graduates H-1B visa holders are very tempting to employers because they tend to work cheap, they tend to work long, they're not as sophisticated about Americans' rights for wrongful termination and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So her question is, how viable is your standard non-H-1B person who's graduated from a boot camp relative to those very seductive H-1B visa holders as an employee, not in the boot camp?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, there is high competition in the job market for sure. I think that is where sort of, you know, a boot camp steps in that they have typically great like hiring networks. They're able to sort of vouch for their boot camp graduates. It's just sort of like an extra layer of help in that job search process. So if that competition does exist, then, you know, typically, a boot camp is able to sort of help you through that. But we haven't done actual research on this, so I wouldn't say anything.
All right, I'm gonna thank you for the call. You mentioned Udacity briefly. What is the difference? There are a lot of courses offered in coding on Udemy, on Udacity, and even in the more traditional university-based online sites like Coursera. What is the difference between the bootcamp and, say, Udacity or Udemy courses?
Yeah, so courses like Udacity or companies like Udacity and Udemy are starting to sort of get into this sort of bootcamp model with these nano degrees. Mm-hmm. And you have to do the same amount of research for those programs as well. I would compare those probably more to online bootcamps like Thinkful or Block. Mm-hmm. And in those
What are those, Thinkful and Gloss? What are those?
So the big ones are Thinkful. Okay. And then Block, BLOC.
Okay.
And in those programs, they're really trying to mimic the experience of an in-person classroom, but you can do them online. So they're pairing you with a mentor. Mm-hmm. They're offering career, job guarantees and career help in a lot of cases. And those are... Those are the types of online bootcamps that we list on Course Report. We wouldn't list the typical, sort of Udacity or Udemy, MOOC, on Course Report because it's not mentor or instructor-led. But there are a lot of online options that are instructor-led, and Udacity is starting to get into that as well.
Let's take one more call. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko, Liz Eggleston, co-founder of CourseReport.com. What's your question or comment regarding bootcamps for her?
Yeah, hi, my name is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
I'm in Point Richmond, and I overheard your talking about people who are in their 60s, well, I'm one of those. About 4 years ago, I took a certification at UC Berkeley in Unix and Linux, and this dovetailed with my current career as a network engineer, which I've been doing for almost 30 years, and instead of... using it as a opportunity for career change, I use it as an opportunity to upgrade my skill set that's appropriate to network engineering. And now I'm programming for network engineering purposes, which is totally cutting edge. It's called network automation and SDMs, and it's totally changed my career. It paid my first year. I got an increase in salary that paid more than offset.
Great point. This is a wonderful call. What a perfect capstone for the calls and for the interview. Because, the one thing we didn't talk about was the fact that, indeed, these coding boot camps may be for career enhancement rather than finding a job. Maybe it's making the most of your current job. How common, Liz, how often is that the case? And is it a good idea in general, or is this caller a kind of an anomalous one?
No, I think, if you're already doing some coding in your job, or if you have been working as a programmer in some capacity for years, and you want to upskill to a new language, a coding bootcamp can be a great option, but, your caller is totally right. There are certifications that can be really nice for upskilling. There are part-time schools, and those online options can be really good options as well. Because somebody with technical experience, it doesn't necessarily need that immersive, intensive, quit your job, do this program, get a new job at the end. And somebody with technical experience will certainly get, can expect to get a higher paying, probably higher ranking job when they graduate. But the majority of students that go to coding boot camps have never been programmers before. So it is a really great option for people who have past careers as programmers in some capacity. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend a full-time, quit-your-job, immersive coding bootcamp for that type of person.
Carla, I kind of interrupted you because I wanted to get her reaction to your core point. Was there anything else you wanted? Was there another point you wanted to make?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm actually on Code Academy, and I'm learning Python programming because I want to start developing web applications for other people to use because network engineering is kind of an arcane field. I'm making a lot of network tools available to people in help desk type jobs so that they can actually do things that I do so that I don't have to always take the phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning to go fix something.
Yeah. Anyway,
so, And I think that's a great point, is that even once you have your job in tech, like, you are still going to be needing to, you know, sign up for that Code Academy class, sign up for, you know, go to those meetups and stay relevant in the industry, learn Python as it becomes more important, learn new skills. And so, you know, coding bootcamp is great, but it's your first step in, you know, your career of lifelong learning. And I think any developer will tell you that. Yeah, so totally agree. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to thank you very much for the call. There's one language we haven't talked about, which is pretty damn important, which is Hadoop. We talked about data science. Hadoop may be the language that's most important for data science. How am I right, first of all, about that still? That was last year. My knowledge is not absolutely current. How important is Hadoop, and have you heard of that? Is that an important part of these boot camps, or is it really still more about JavaScript and C and Ruby and Python?
At a traditional coding bootcamp, a web development bootcamp, you probably are not going to learn Hadoop unless you ask to learn. At a data science bootcamp, you will most definitely learn Hadoop, Spark, any of those sort of you know, frameworks that you need to know to be a data scientist. But this is a great point, because, you know, Hadoop is something that you could, you know, you could graduate from a web development class, realize you really loved Python, realize that, you know, you really loved working in data and working on the back end, and then take a Hadoop, you know, course on Code Academy, or, you know, go to a shorter form class on Hadoop, and enter the, you know, data science field. So everybody has sort of a different path, and I think, you know, building the stack that you want to work in is an ongoing experience.
I always want to serve I want to help my listeners, and we keep getting calls. So let's take one more call. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Liz Eggleston. What's your question or comment for her around boot camps and related trainings? Hi, it's you.
Good morning. Thank you, Marty. I'm actually calling on my partner's behalf. Mm-hmm. He has engineering skills from Taiwan. Mm-hmm. He's currently taking a lot of courses on Coursera, Udemy, etc. He's taken a lot of those courses. Mm-hmm. My question is, it kind of sounds like he doesn't need that boot camp experience, that immersive experience that you were speaking of just a few moments ago. We really can't afford the expense if we can spare it. But my question then is, if I'm correct, his biggest skill that he's lacking is more along the line of English skills, reading and writing. His speaking is very good, but his reading and writing skills, we found, is about a fifth or sixth grade level.
Okay, I'm going to take that one myself. Now, his speaking skills are good, so it's not a lack of intelligence. Very often, you know, language is a reflection, so he speaks reasonably well. So it's really specific to reading and writing, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, the best way to learn that would be with a tutor, one-on-one, not a course. Courses at at different paces, and they don't, in my judgment, need to be a credentialed tutor costing a lot of money. If you can find, whether it be you, who's obviously a native speaker of English, if you're comfortable doing it, sometimes romantic partners should not be be working with each other, because they would pull each other's hair out. But either you or anybody who's patient and who is a native speaker of English, simply take what's called reading material that is on what is called his instructional level. If he's reading on a fifth or sixth grade level, he should be working on material on a sixth to seventh grade level. Ideally, since he's in the tech world, maybe a technical manual that is written on a seventh grade level, and simply one paragraph at a time, him reading it to himself, reading it and then paraphrasing aloud what he thinks it means, and then the tutor giving him feedback. And then he takes notes on the things that he is learning, so he's got like a nugget file, a file of his nuggets, of all the nuggets that he's learned. Does that make sense?
That does. That makes really good sense. And in fact, he just recently got hooked up with a free tutor through the San Mateo Public Library. So I'm really glad to hear he's doing the right things. But
the model, you know, there's tutors like, you know, chefs are good and bad. It's not that they're a chef. It's whether they – sometimes people have their own models. But my PhD is in the evaluation of education. And I really find that the model I just described – finding material that is in a content domain of interest to him, that is in the computer area, that is what is called his instructional level, which is one notch above his current reading level, not three notches, and then him reading to himself and then paraphrasing out loud, getting feedback and keeping notes, that's very different than the average tutor is going to provide. So I would advise him to talk to the tutor at the public library and say, hey, can we use this model? here's a piece of reading that I'm interested in understanding better. Can we use that model and you be my mentor for that? Does that make sense?
That does. Perfect sense. How soon will this this podcast be available on your website?
I think by the end of today. That sounds usually something like that, by the end of today.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. We're just about out of time. So, Liz, I want to just give you an open-ended question. Every single guest who's ever appeared on the show in my 27 years doing this thing have said, oh, I really wish I would have said, bah. So I decided I'm typically going to end my interviews by saying, okay, is there one thing that you want to make sure that you have said to my listeners that you either haven't said before or is so important you want to reiterate?
One thing that I always love talking about is advice for women who are doing boot camps or entering tech in general.
Okay.
In general, coding boot camps do actually a really good job of this. About 38% of coding boot camp graduates are women, which is compared to like 15% in computer science degrees. But still, like, regardless of if you your gender, visit the bootcamp campus, visit the classroom, look around. Are there female instructors? Are you going to be learning with other women? Is that important to you? Really go visit the school and make a really informed decision. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Liz Eggleston, thank you very much for being my guest on Work with Marty Nemco.
Thank you.
Yeah, she is the co-founder of CourseReport.com. Why don't you give us the 15-second or 30-second pitch on why should anybody waste their time visiting CourseReport.com?
Sure. Okay, well, when we started Course Report in January of 2014, there were 40 boot camps in our directory, and there are now 300. It grows each week. We started Course Report as a resource for students who are trying to make that really difficult decision. And so we have over 4,000 alumni reviews. You can search by city,
wow,
by price range, by career goals.
Wow.
Read those reviews. Talk to staff, talk to alumni, ask a ton of questions. Course Report is a great place to start.
Sounds awesome, and you are a great person to have as a guest on my show. It was fun. I hope
it was fun for you. Yes, it was a blast. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right.
Very good. All right. So we are essentially out of time. Wait, we go on. I've got 30. Can we take this caller? Let me take a caller quick. Let's see if she can be quick or he can be quick. Welcome to the show. My guest is gone, but you're stuck with me. What is your very quick question?
Hi, Marty. I'm an entrepreneur. I want to develop an idea. I wanted to use an incubator in San Francisco. Wonder how I would find one that was useful.
Don't have an answer. Don't know about specifics, but what I would do is here, I guess, are the few questions I would ask the incubators. I would say, who are the fellow people who are there who are co-business developers? It's a matter of compatibility. You'd like people who are both high level and bright, but also who have domain expertise. And then I would look at the specific question is, what differentiates yours from the others? And that's all the time I have, but I always like to fill as much as I can, so I will thank you for the call.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. And that is Work with Marty Nemco for this week. I want to thank my board operator, Joanne Marr, as always. And, as always, all of you for listening and calling in great questions for my guest. You are awesome. Please join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do workovers on callers. And President-elect Donald Trump's economic advisor, not the only one, but one of his economic advisors, Diana Furcott-Roth, on what Donald Trump's planned policies are regarding jobs and the workplace. Plus, that's enough. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemco reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.